This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Pendulette's on the phone, so this is for him.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not panic, but scream. Scream for your lives. The tingler is loose in the theater. And don't in the kitchen. The tingler has been paralyzed by your screaming. There is no more danger. We will now resume the showing of the movie.
The Don and Mike Show. Remember that having their program every day is a luxury. The Don and Mike Show.
Mike, oh, this is for Pendulette as well. I just checked my messages at home. George McFly keeps calling.
Yeah, I heard you say that during the break.
We should call
him. Tomorrow on the show, we'll call him back.
All right.
And see what's up with him. Now, joining us maybe from Vegas. I'm not sure where. Here's the great Penn Jillette. Hey, Penn.
How you doing?
Hey, we are doing fantastic.
That's a remake of The Tingler, isn't it?
That's a tingler.
I'm screaming for your life.
I love that.
Let's welcome the newest member of the Infinity Broadcasting team.
Oh, man. Now, Penn.
This is a free FM nightmare. This is a heartbreaker because the three of us can no longer have sex because we're part of the same family.
That's
so wrong, isn't it?
Oh, it's terrible.
Here's what we do. We move to Kentucky and we all broadcast from there.
I like that idea.
Now, continue our relationships as they were.
Whenever this thing begins in January, whenever it is, you've got maybe the cheeriest gig of all. It's a one-hour show. That'll be on our Vegas station here in D.C., on our station here, and our station in Baltimore, our station in Chicago. And what's the format of your show going to be?
Whatever the hell Penn wants to do.
All right, good.
Like that's it. The right attitude.
That's what I'll be doing. No, I did, you know, I did this, I did five shows just in Chicago as kind of a pilot, and I just tried to do what I thought would be cool, and they bought it.
You know, I will ask you one specific question about your show that's coming up. Will you be interacting with the audience like so many of us do?
I'm going to do a lot of phone calls and emails and stuff.
Good. Okay, good to hear that.
I'll also have friends on, you know, ranging from Gilbert Gottfried to, you know, Richard Dawkins, kind of do the whole realm of possibilities.
All right, well, Penn, we won't talk about the radio thing again until it happens. We are fascinated, though, with the show that's on Sunday night.
Yeah, we're doing a show underwater. It was probably the stupidest idea Penn and Teller ever had, and we've had a lot of them, you know. But we got this idea 15 years ago. We pitched to NBC to do a show underwater, and at that time, making it even marginally safe was cost prohibitive. NBC loved it, and we kept pitching it to them like every 3 or 4 years, and they finally bought it 2 years ago, and we still couldn't do it, and then we finally just did it. We went down to the Bahamas. We did one of these big, flashy, underwater submarine vanishes. We saw it a woman and a half underwater. We were in scuba gear. We had safety divers, you know, 6 diving cameras. It was insane. And then the only thing that stopped it from being the standard cheesy magic show is that we give everything away during the
Now this
that's
is
the best.
This is what's so great. That and now it's a 2-hour show on Sunday, right?
I believe that you will see magic as good as you've ever seen on TV. And during the credits, if you want to keep it the same kind of cheesy magic show everyone else does, if you want to keep it that way, just close your eyes during the credits. You don't know anybody who worked on the show anyway.
Right.
You don't need to see the credits. But if you want to see how it's done, we'll show you.
Now, underwater, the whole thing with underwater, is this something where, you know, you've scuba dived before? Is it something for Houdini? I mean, where's the tie-in with the desire to do a show underwater? It's an interesting desire.
I have scuba divers. Houdini did a lot of stuff in the water. And the real reason, to be uncharacteristically honest here, is that Teller and I grew up loving magic, and then by the time we were professionals, we hated it because all the stuff was tired to us and old, and we can do the stuff we've always secretly wanted to do, like saw a woman in half and vanish 800 tons of steel and things like that that are just not in our style, but if you do them underwater and make them close to impossible, it becomes a whole different thing. So we love that. I mean, the sawing in woman in half thing, we rehearsed on the bottom of the ocean for 6 hours, and it never worked once until the cameras were rolling and the audience was there, the audience of scuba divers watching.
You have an audience of scuba divers?
Yeah, for the submarine vanish, we have, I don't know, almost 100 scuba divers holding hands with scuba equipment around the submarine that we vanish. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
I'm laughing at the setup.
I mean, we've never been this much by the absolute skin of our, teeth, I guess is the word. We just barely stuff, you know, usually stuff works like, you know, half the time in rehearsal, and then we go into the show. Once we successfully vanished the submarine. Once we successfully sawed a woman in half. And the bad thing about sawing the woman in half is that we were so jacked up that it was actually working and things weren't falling over and the saw wasn't broken and all the other stuff that had happened and we weren't drowning. We were so excited that when I came around the final time, I knocked the regulator out of the woman's mouth. Now, she's tied in place about 40 feet down, and I knocked the regulator out of her mouth. And you get to see on camera how cheap life is to me because I'm so excited that I finished the bit successfully that I'm taking these huge, you know, devil horns in the air, big bows jumping around, and I never once glanced down to her face to see that she's not breathing.
Oh, my God.
At the end of my celebration, you see all these safety divers with stopwatches rushing in and sticking air in her mouth, and I look over at them, and you can see clearly on my face that I'm just a little pissed because they're coming in the middle of my celebration.
Now, are you mic'd in the scuba mask? Are you mic'd?
I do voiceover for some of the scuba stuff, and then some of the stuff we're wearing, like those Captain Nemo robot death helmets that I can talk in. Yeah.
Without giving away how you do the trick, which is why we'll watch, doing magic underwater, it's got to be like doing magic in space, right? It was one of the big things that would screw up. If you're sawing the lady in half, that she might start to float away or that the...
Everything moves different, which means you have to tie things down, which means everything gets a little more dangerous, which is why we love things to look dangerous and look amazing, but we don't ever want to really hurt somebody. So the whole time you're watching, and this might be fun to keep in mind, everything you see where we're kind of desolate and on the ocean bottom doing things, there are 5 safety divers right out of frame with everything possible to save our lives.
You know, when I think about, like, being weightless, I don't know about you, but my frame of reference is always the Don Knotts movie, The Reluctant Astronaut.
What about The Incredible Mr. Olympic?
Yeah, when he's underwater.
Yeah, very true.
Here's a little thought for you to keep in mind. What are the differences? And I believe they're very few. But once you get this in your head, it's like a virus. You'll never get it out.
All right.
Try to enumerate the differences between Don Knotts and Mick Jagger.
I'm sorry. All right.
Picture Don Knotts at, you know, 50 years old, hand on his hip, big scarf, you know, shaking his hips and wiggling, and you've got Mick Jagger. I think the difference may be drug use and an English accent. I think that may be the entire thing.
What about when Buzz was telling us about, again, totally just stream of consciousness, because I want to get as much of this in with you as I can. Buzz told us that he was reading an interview with Teller today. Mm-hmm. Buzz, where did you read this, and since when do you let Teller speak, man?
Well, no, Teller has always talked more than he should.
New York Daily News, I believe it was. One of the New York papers.
Well, you know, the crew, our crew, Penn and Teller guys, Nate and Zeke and Michael, listen to your show all the time. So they could tell you in a second that Teller does not ever shut up for a second when we're not actually working. The only reason we keep him silent in the show is so that somebody sometime can get a little bit of peace from the little creep's incessant gaffing. Since we're free associated talking about any subjects, I need to talk about David Copperfield, okay?
Okay.
Love to hear you talk about David Copperfield.
Copperfield is, I mean, in kind of a broad showbizy sense, he's a friend of mine.
Okay.
And all the problems, all the friction, all the tension that comes between us, which is real, all of that tension comes from one simple fact.
What is it?
I, Penn Jillette, am a scumbag. I meet with David Copperfield. He takes me to his beautiful, you know, we hang out at his place. He's come over to my house. He's just sweet. He's kind. He's great to my wife. We have a good time. We talk. And then he says to me, hey, Penn, you know, just don't say anything about me in the press. Just shut up, okay? Now, he said that to me three times. And every time, I look him in the eye and say, you know, I won't, David. I'll shut up about you. I really will. I really do. And he says to me then, no, don't make a promise you can't keep, Penn, because you have this weird compulsion that you can't shut up. And I go, no, David, I can certainly shut up. I won't say anything anymore. And then I'm sitting in an interview, and they set me up and say, you know, what do you think about David Copperfield impregnating a woman without touching her? And I say, well, it's sad. That's the only way we can think of to do it.
Okay. Oh, my God. That's right. I remember that quote.
I say to the interviewer, you know, you better not print that.
No.
And they go, oh, no, that's really funny, Pat. And I go, oh, he's going to be saying, bored. See, other times he's gotten mad at me, but this time he was, like, hurt. And, you know, and here's the problem. In my life, nobody, not my mom, not my dad, not my sister, not Teller, not my wife, not anybody on the crew, nobody has ever said to me, don't say anything about me. You know, Lou Reed, I went on like Howard one time and said something about Lou, and afterwards he called me up and kicked my ass. But he never said, don't do it again. He never said, don't mention my name. So I never made a promise that I couldn't keep, and I've done it. So I want to make it very, very clear. When you read the name David Copperfield and Penn Jillette in the same paragraph in any publication in the world, the reason there's tension between those two gentlemen is that one of them is a scumbag, and it's all one with long hair.
Well, okay. You're making it right, Penn. I mean, you're making it right. How do you think he's going to respond to that?
I don't know. I probably shouldn't have. I should probably keep my promise and not mention his name. Hey, how about Chris Angel? No? What an idiot he is. So, boy, Lance Burton sucks. Keeping Fried and Roy. Nice, a tiger ripped his head off. I just say all of that.
You want to throw the amazing Jonathan in there or anything like that?
Jonathan, sure. Why do you think he has the headband? Are there hair problems there?
Okay.
Anyone else? I mean, we can even say Steve Weirich. Just Blaine sucks. End of story. Through the whole David Blaine. You know the greatest thing about David Blaine?
What?
The greatest thing? And this has probably been fixed, but last time I saw him, it was the greatest thing. He was fat. He's not as tall as me, but he was my build.
Oh, that's not good.
Guy, right? So here's this guy who went without food for, you know, supposedly for 40 days, and now he's like chunky. You know, it's like he tries to be, he's trying to be like Bobby Sands, you know, and do some sort of big, you know, starving thing, and he ends up looking like Louis Anderson.
To get back to the Copperfield thing, the vibe I'm getting from you is that you genuinely like this guy.
Sure.
You are genuinely sorry that his feelings were hurt, but on the other hand, how can you not come out and say something like, how the frig can he do a bit like this? And doesn't David Copperfield realize that most people think like you do, that you read this and you go, this is just total crap?
I don't know. You know, that's the thing. I just don't know how other people think. The thing is, you know, they ask me for a quote. They're always asking me to say something a little bit funny. And you guys know as well as I do that comedy is always mean-spirited.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when's the last time you got a huge laugh going, that George Hamilton? Great guy.
Right,
you just got to laugh with that. See, I'm totally wrong. Okay. That's wrong.
Then tell me this. How did chubby David Blaine, how did fatty David Blaine, how did he do his street levitation?
Well, you know, you got to remember, he didn't do a street levitation, okay? He did a TV show, okay? You have to remember that. And we talk about this in our special a lot, you know? In the special Sunday night, we will do some of that stuff and show you about reactions. It comes down very simply to this. Now, the show, I happen to think David Blaine's first special was one of the greatest magic specials ever done. And the reason was that he focused on the reactions.
Right.
So you really get caught up in that whole thing. But let me just ask you a simple gedanken, a simple thought experiment.
Okay.
Imagine you two, okay?
All right.
Ron and Mike. Not people, not superstars. You guys.
Okay, right.
You walk out in the street with a camera in D.C., okay?
Okay.
You've got three cameras. You walk over to people and you say, hi, we're Don and Mike. You know, you see us on the radio, here's on the radio, you know, and they go, whoa, Don and Mike, cool. What are you doing? You go, we are doing a network television special. And they go, wow, wow. And you say, okay, we're going to put the cameras on you, and we'd like you to just look as though I had just turned into an otter. The otter is here. Look, little otter. Look like that. And then we're going to bring the camera up. We want you to say, swear to Christ, I've never seen anything like that in my life. We'll probably use a shot of you on the TV special if you cry right now. And while we're at it, we're shooting a little bit of Girls Gone Wild, so flash your... All of it's done. And then you turn the camera around over their shoulders, and you can do anything.
Yeah.
Put an otter there, right? So on our show, we get those reaction shots doing nothing, and then we shoot what we're actually doing and show that. And the great thing is, after showing that, we show the reaction shots later cut in, and they're still powerful.
Yeah. It works.
He's like two frat boys to say, I never thought anyone could make me squeal like a little girl.
Everybody, please.
This woman to say, you know, this is on TV. She knows nothing's happening. She looks into the camera and says, I didn't even know kangaroos could do that. Very amazing and just a little bit
sexy. Please watch.
That's all you need to know about magic specials on TV. And I'm not talking camera tricks, you know, like Bewitched. I'm not talking that kind of jive. I'm just talking about if you say to people you're going to... I mean, look at the TV shows. Look at the concerts. You know, you can see the Eagles on TV and people act like they're liking them. You put TV cameras up, people go, woo-hoo-hoo! I mean... You put a TV camera up, and, you know, and Camellia will flap her breast.
You know what I wonder? How is Penn going to fill an hour of radio time?
I don't know.
I'm terrified. I'm going to have you guys as guests all the time.
Penn's show with Teller. It's Sunday night, 7, that's 6 Central, on NBC. Penn and Teller off the deep end.
It's all underwater, and we don't actually drown and die because it was already taped, but you'll see great reaction shots.
Wonderful. All right, well, listen, if we can get you back on... before you start your radio show, we'd love to talk about your book, too.
You know, How to Cheat Your Friends at Poker. It's a way to exploit friendship to make money. Exactly what you two have been doing for years.
Well, the great Penn Jillette, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Everybody, please watch this show Sunday night. Looks great, yeah. And we'll talk to you very soon.
Always a joy. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you. Thank you. The great Penn Jillette, really, the guy.
So funny. He's amazing.
Good loyal friend of the show.
You know, somewhere on his body, I think, is a tattooed trust no one. Because he's all about that. And if you like, I mean, that's the whole thing, that he pulls back the curtain on this stuff. It's so much fun to watch.
Let me just tell you very...
Hello?
You know why he's good, Beth Ann? Do you remember last week when you were talking to him? Remember he had to reschedule because he was watching 24, all 24 hours of 24?
Right, nonstop.
Anyway, and one of the things was, yeah, he'd love to come on the show. He loves the show. He doesn't really want to talk about David Copperfield. So I was not even going to bring it up today.
Unexpected.
But nice that Penn Jillette brought it up
pretty
on his own.
Funny. And you can tell he's trying to right a wrong that he did to David Copperfield. I thought in early interviews, we've had him on a bunch of times on the show, I thought that maybe they'd had a running feud, and I didn't realize that they were friends, but, you know, it's funny.
Like, David Copperfield.
I don't put those two together.
David Copperfield must be like Michael Hughes. You know what I mean? What a pussy. Seriously.
You're not helping Penn's cause at all, man.
But, I mean, that's like Michael Hughes.
Right.
You know, please don't talk about me. Well, please don't talk about me. Then I'm
not
talking about him.
You know, you don't even know David Copperfield. And you've just given him the worst insult you can give a human.
Call him Michael Hughes.
That's terrible.
Michael Hughes, like, all right.
He'll never forgive you for that.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, buddy. Okay. Anyway, that's Penn, and PennandTeller.com is their website. Now, here's good news and bad news.
Mm.
We're going to do a contest here, and we're going to give away some cash money.
That's good news.
And as you know, we've been proud to be associated.
Very authoritative.
We've been proud to be associated with Independence Air.
Yes, we have.
And the good news is, if you've won a trip anywhere on this show, if I was you, I'd book that trip before Christmas.
Take it. Go.
Okay?
Please do.
So we will not be giving away, with no offense to Independence Air, we will not be giving away airfare today on the show.
Exactly.
But I still think, even if they're going to go up and go belly up in Chapter 11, they should go with my slogan, Independence Air. at least we never crash nothing. Especially now, if they're going to go out with a bang, no pun intended.
They've merely filed for bankruptcy protection. I don't think they intend to go out.
Also tonight on NBC, watch the amazing Cusini as he makes radio stations disappear.
Cusini, yes, sir. And then hides in his dressing room.
So here we go. We'll play a game. We'll give away how about $100, and everybody likes the WWE, the wrestling, Survivor Series, live pay-per-view in your home Sunday night, November 27th. We're going to play the game called It's All Relative.
All right.
You know how you do that. We call a member of your family. We ask them three piercing, penetrating questions about you or them. They get all three correct, and you are the big, big winner. You win at least $100 in cash.
Spend it on an airfare.
The WWE Survivor Series live in your home. And remember, it's an easy walk to Las Vegas. Who says you got to fly?
I think they're going to be fine.
Somebody's going to hitch a ride.
I'm trying to think positively.
Again, that's my motto. I mean, come on. I flew on Independence Air this weekend to go down to South Carolina to see my son.
Mm-hmm.
Independence Air. Yeah, we're biting the big one, but we ain't crashed.
Right. Well, why don't you send that right along to their PR department?
Independence Air. Our bookkeeping sucks, but how many crashes have we had?
Right.
Independence Air. We don't have TVs like JetBlue. You ever seen one of our planes crashing into Los Angeles? I mean, really?
Yeah.
They should try to.
Nobody died on that plane, though.
They thought they were going to, though.
Yeah, I know.
Because they were watching themselves on TV.
You see a very safe landing by the pilot.
Right. So call now and win $100.
Call now, phone Jeopardy.
Call now, play It's All Relative, and win $100 and personal bankruptcy protection. That's what we're going to be offering, because that's really what you need.
As we turn the page to Chapter 11 on the show.
It's All Relative, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.